with us and in ministry. That the minister is going to be on the way. She is still in Pretoria for now, but she will join us later. But I also wanted to tell you a very important information. Do you want this information? I'm going to buy. We have an invitation. We were supposed to have a joint sitting with the portfolio committee on the small business development. We were invited by the chairperson because that new department is going to brief a number of portfolio committees. But I think our interest is on the issue of cooperatives and also on the issue of them having to cluster with the department, especially the area of our agencies. So I'm sponsoring this, honorable members, so that we consider if we cannot speed up our business for today and then send a message that we will be joining them a little bit later. So I'm really putting that. Oh, it's not today. Oh, why did you make me lie? They say it's no longer taking place today, but it will only be next week. But still, it's important, even before we start, can I therefore, on your behalf, ensure that if we've got any business that we would do on that day, we do it a day earlier. So that I really think it's important for us to attend that. But because social development is somehow a coordinator, especially of the outcome 13, because we have to give reports and accounts on behalf of those who also report on outcome 13. So having an idea of being able to attend, we will be able to assist in oversight, especially on issues that our minister is responsible for. So I think it would be a good idea to be able to link with those. For example, we have met also with the portfolio committee on justice. So there are many of those. So if that matter now is off the table, I'm happy because it was not indeed a part of the formal arrangement. I would formalize it after we had agreed, lest I say something formally and you as forum say no, it was not necessary. Thank you very much. We are welcoming our dear sister in this meeting as well, Umama Usoledi. She's now an international activist. She has not told us the other stories of other countries, but she wasn't present last. She had attended, went to Japan, but they went there. No, so it will consider this after some time. So you are welcome back, and I also welcome all the members present. And I will also be happy if we've got guests. They will get acknowledged in the process. Well, thank you very much. Can we then now go formally to formal opening, having teased any other thing that is not really a formal one? Our agenda is in front of all of us. Is it so? Yes, we all have our agenda for today. And in that agenda, it is a normal procedure that you are welcomed as a department. And then, having welcomed you, the first apology item would be apologies. So we'll get written apologies, and we had accepted the apology of the honorable member in the other meeting. So we'll go, if there are written ones, we'll deal with that. I've also submitted my knowledge that the minister is coming. So, and I don't know whether the deputy minister has read something. So please read them out for us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I have a couple of apologies. One is from the deputy minister, who is unable to be with us due to other commitments. And another one is from Honorable Kopane and Honorable Tikok, who are of sick, and Honorable Mabilo, who is unable to be with us due to other commitments. And Honorable Dudley, she has a meeting with the Chief Whip's Forum, so she won't be able to be with us, or she will join us later. Thank you very much.
As we go into our business, with the assumption that we have approved all those who apologized, we last time we did not ask questions on the presentation, and today the day is for SASSA to present, but I also would want to suggest a subject to your agreement that we start with SASSA and then we deal with all the questions and clarities that would be asked in the presentation that was not engaged at that time. Can I move that direction?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And therefore, the CEO is on the driving seat. Malibongwe, you can start. Or DJ is having a suggestion. Thank you, you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I just wanted to introduce our new PLO. Since the departure of Ms. Litagazi, Nguma, who's sitting over there, we've got a new face here, Babelezi Mtaung. She's sitting over there. Can she stand up? I just wanted to introduce him.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you repeat the name?
Who? She can do it herself. Balibeti.
Balibeti. In short, it can be Bali. Okay, Bali, to make it easy for us. Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
This is a very warm home. You will find it very interesting.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable.
I do know Honorable Wilson that yesterday it was a long journey. We all the same. And we all feel the same. The day was very long. I don't know whether it was a long day or a long night, but something was long that those who were with us in the good house where we go, indeed it was. But it's nice to say all your buddies now are on your way in your places. Do you want to say something, Will? Thank you very much. That's because you were too much celebrating for a new mayor. That's why you don't know the Nazi days. PE went on and on celebrating Jenny Jordan. the executive mayor of Nelson Mandela Bay. So we congratulate him, and we look forward to interact, especially being a metro and us. Can we then go ahead?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members and colleagues. SACA will present this morning its third quarter performance report, and I will go straight to slide number, well, the background is on slide number, the vision and the mission and the SACA slogan, and then on slide six, we give the strategic outcome in terms of expanding access to social assistance and creating a platform for future payments for social security benefits. And obviously, our goal, therefore, is to render social assistance to eligible beneficiaries. The key priorities that were addressed in 2014-2015 ACWA 2014-15 to 2018-19 strategic plan, with a primary focus on reducing income poverty, improving service delivery, improving internal efficiency, and institutionalizing social grant payment system within SACA. The actual quarter that we will discuss this morning, October to December 2014.
If you could adjust your mic towards your paper, please. Thank you.
Better, Chairperson? Is it better? Good. If we're on slide page 9, the objective is to provide social assistance to qualifying eligible beneficiaries. Now, our annual target was set at 1.1 million new beneficiaries. In terms of the achievement, in quarter 2, 363,000 new applications were processed, and if we add that from April to September, therefore it would make 730,000, which is 60% of the annual target. For quarter 3, 323,007 new applications were processed. The total number of applications processed was 1.045 million, so we had almost covered 95% of the annual target. To give you a breakdown of the approval versus rejections and outstanding, 949,000 were approved, 56,000 of those applications were rejected, mainly disabilities, and then 47,000 were outstanding. The next page just gives you a graphic chart to show you to support the narrative I've given you. On slide 11, which is to implement the social assistance program. So again, to provide social assistance to qualifying eligible beneficiaries and to increase the number of grants in payment from 15.9 million to 16.052, that was the annual target for 2014-15. Achieved, 16.443 million social grants were in payment by the end of the third quarter. This represents an increase of 37,343 social grants, or 0.2% from the preceding quarter. The annual target was exceeded by 391,000 due to a higher uptake in the grant in aid and the care dependency grants. You will recall, Chairperson, that Minister has said that, for example, grant in aid, lots of people don't know how to access it, and this particularly for older persons is coupled to their actual pension, particularly those who need additional support. The annual target, I have said, it was exceeded by 391, and we've spoken to the 9% increase of grant in aid and a 1.4% increase of the care dependency grant. Less grants during that period total 1.108133 million social grants, and the lapsing is due to temporaries and children turning 18. And during this quarter, 402,000 were lapsed, mainly through kids leaving school, etc., CSG mainly affected. Then we have a table on page, on slide, or slide 12, which gives you the take-up of social grants per grant type. During the quarter under review, you would see that there was 124,000 care dependency grants, and you'll see the growth of that to 126,000 by the end of the third quarter, the difference 1.7, giving you the 1.4% increase. The child support grant in October was 11,480, and that moved up to 11,574 million at the end of December, with a 0.8% increase. Foster care in October was 553,000, and that moved down to 455. Foster care currently has a task team working on it that Minister has appointed to look at, particularly where kids, the difference between young children turning 18 and whether they're in school, and whether social workers need to provide us a report so that the order could be extended to cover. The disability grant in October was 1.1 million, and that grew to 1.127, which is a 0.3% increase. Granting aid, you will see, went from 96 to 105,000, demonstrating the 9%. An old age grant with a steady 0.9% growth was at 3.053 million at the end of December. War veterans continue to pass on, therefore there will always be a decline year on year of the First and Second World War recipients and the Korean War. So you will see the 37% difference for that quarter. An indication of provincial growth statistics during the quarter. Eastern Cape had minus growth during this particular quarter, while we'll see positive growth, particularly in the Western Cape, of 1.3%. So there was an 18,000 increase during this particular quarter. In terms of slide 14, this is just to give the general, you move on, please. Thank you. Slide 14, we see the breakdown of the grants per type in the different provinces. SASSO refers to provinces, regions. We hope to get that sorted out with better alignment. You will see again that KZN has 23.5% of the total, followed by the Eastern Cape with 16.3%, and then Gauteng and Limpopo both at 13% of the draw. The smallest remains the Northern Cape in terms of the grant coverage. Then the implementation of social assistance programs, this reduction of inclusion and exclusion errors. There has been a continuous program to try and increase the numbers, the 0 to 1 numbers of young children who are not on the system. We know there's that perverse incentive to SASS that people get pregnant, young women, and they come straight onto the grant system. No, they don't. We actually struggle to get children into the system who are of such a young age. What we've achieved is 519,000 children in the age category 0 to 1 years, which is a 41%. Whilst our target remains 70% of the 0 to 1, where we're trying to achieve that outcome, there's an increase of only 0.7%. In terms of the breakdown of children's granting payments in the 0 to 1, child support grant has been 519,000, the care dependency is 336,000, and the foster care 246,000. To improve the management of social relief of distress by ensuring qualifying beneficiaries are not disadvantaged. Our annual target is 160,000 applications per annum over the next 3 years. Now, the achievement is 60,000 applications processed during the quarter under review. And the total expenditure then for the third quarter is 93 million. In terms of improving the conditions where we serve our beneficiaries, this will deal with turnaround times, but also the infrastructure that SASSA use. We have said we want to reduce the grant turnaround time to an average of 10 days. Previously, we had spoken about 21 days for a grant application for a long time, and we're wanting to reduce that. And the other annual target is obviously the upgrading of our offices and also to try and get new offices in some areas where the office is not accessible sufficiently but can't be upgraded because it belongs to some other person and it doesn't have the potential for an upgrade. So in terms of the turnaround time for processing grants, 97% of the applications were processed within the 21 days and 0.26% were processed after the 21 days. So we continue to work with that objective. During the quarter under review, 5 local offices and 10 pay points were improved in quarter 3. In improving the conditions under which our people are served, the ICROP and the Mekonzi interventions remain a key target, particularly to reach our people who are inaccessible. I know over the weekend we were in Kokstad where the Child Protection Week was launched, and we still found that there was an under-inclusion in some of the smaller areas around Kokstad. You have, you know, people living in concentrated little areas, but then there's deep distances and pockets on hills and in valleys that we still have to do a lot more ICROP work. So I've actually asked for a special approach to go and do intensive work. It was found the area where children were very vulnerable there. But in terms of our delivery, in terms of quarter three, you will see that 247 ICROP interventions were held during that time. We will try to, and it exceeded the need, and if you look at across the year, because the ICROP is a way in which community engages us. You would get a phone call, whether it's from a counselor, but an NPO, a concerned citizen, to say that, you know, you have an office here once a month, a service point, and that's not really enough. So then we advertise the days we'll be there, and we try and bring along home affairs, because I know there was a lady who had 1957 in her book of life, and yet you could see visibly she was older. And on Sunday, because we were there, we were able to get the police to do the affidavit, so we literally cut down. If she had just gone to the service point, she would have to have found a police station from which area she lived, would have met more than once. She would have to come and see us. But because we were there and we had other government facilities, we could actually intervene. And she had struggled for more than 2 years. Well, she's walking around with a 1957 year in her book of life. And yet, obviously, so what we do, we give them a quad number, Home Affairs then does the investigation. Things do move along if you have more departments with you at the same time. In terms of,
can I request the group to hold the vote for me? I want to go out.
Okay.
Please continue.
Oh, may I continue? Thank you. In terms of the future payment system, the implementation of the payment tender, obviously the tender process, as directed by the Concord, we should go back up into tender. We're obviously working on a two-track plan. One is, it's a parallel. One is to put out the tender and let it run for 5 years. Or the court has said we must look at our options at the time and see should we not insource the total product. So we continue to work on both of those. We've had international experts giving us opinions. We've had the Ministerial Advisory Committee. We are now ready for the work streams work and the new tender closed. And we are obviously starting our work through supply chain to address that. The biometric standard project is also still in progress. because we will also want to enroll biometrically our beneficiaries ourselves in the future, because this is government's data and we would have to take responsibility. So in terms of establishing a credible national payment database through the re-reg process, you will recall the re-reg process started in 2012. They had a phase one and a phase two back office. Some led to us cancelling grants, people returning their card saying they're not eligible. We're constantly having to do the work. But at the moment, our focus is, and our plan targets, the improvement of the ICT infrastructure, biometric authentication of users, and cleaning of the re-reg data. We're doing a project, particularly with CSIR, where we're checking the quality of the fingerprint to see if there are any duplicates in the system. We're working with Home Affairs particularly on this matter, and we've also provided the children's fingerprints to Home Affairs. So where there are duplications, we put people on the road, we have door-to-door as part of areas where we found numbers to be larger groups, so that we can check on is it the quality of the fingerprint that was taken, or what is the issue, or is it the minutiae of the finger of the person that gives us a poor result, and also to check on duplications. In terms of effective and efficient administration, with particular focus to our human resource, identified critical posts were filled in quarter three. The total number of posts budgeted at the various levels in SASA is 10,375. At the end of September, we had 9,699 personnel in the system. That's 93% of the funded posts filled. New appointments totaled 47 in quarter three, 17 permanent and 30 contracts. Terminations were 234, contract workers 138, that means projects ended, and then permanent 96 and transfers 8. Two human capital policies were reviewed, the leave and performance management during that quarter, and one labor relations case was reported during quarter three. To promote good governance and accountability, the plan targets are reduction of audit findings. We've had unqualified audits, but we really want to do better. We want to emulate our mother body and eventually go to clean audit status. Reduction of fraud, theft, and corruption, and reduction in litigation. Fraud management from the 1st of October to the 31st of December 2014 reported 235 cases, new cases, 588 investigations, of which 353 were in quarter three. The reporting on fraud, you always have a residue as an opening balance, then you add to it, and then you get either new or you do your investigation. So you would see the number of investigations always exceeds the number, hopefully, of new cases reported because of the carry-through from the previous quarter. Internal audit, conducted 9 internal audit reviews, and these on specific areas of high risk within our organization to address our risk register. In terms of the legal department, 238 letters of demand were received and responded to. The target in with regard to fraud is 60% of identified fraud and corruption cases need to be investigated. And the regions investigated the average for quarter three to be 250%. That means they had a higher yield of investigations, because some of the cases have worked over such a long period of time that sometimes it all comes together a lot faster. But it's because cases have come through, literally tracking cases from 2011, because we now have a system of tracking that we did not have, thanks to Ms. Ogle. From the 1st of October to the 31st, a total of 235 cases, I said, were received, and those were the investigations. On the slide on page 24, we give a graphic representation of where fraud was reported, which provinces, and where the work was actually done in quarter three. And you will see some provinces have done a good recovery of work during quarter three. Litigation, a total of 7 litigation matters were dealt with. Two were social grants, that's reconsideration and suspension matters. Two were prior requests for information matters. And one was a GIF, which is a government pension matter. One was an MVA motor vehicle accident, and one was a supply chain management related matter. And the slide further gives you an outline of where these matters were. Head office had two matters. Eastern Cape had one social ground matter. KZN had a social ground matter. Mpumalanga had three matters, one being an MVA matter, which is a motor vehicle accident matter, and the GIF matter. The total amount of litigation costs at the end of the third quarter was 216,000. And these included matters that have been coming on over the period, as I said. Further litigation just gives a breakdown on the following slide, just on the first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter to give the honorable members an understanding of the April to December work during that financial year. Then in terms of a summary of our performance, in terms of the targets achieved, we have third quarter targets achieved as being, this is representing our branches, 63% and 62% and 62% achieved. The quarter two had a slightly better yield than quarter three. Bearing in mind that December is part of quarter three, it's unfortunate that quarter three and four have December and January where there's always a lesser yield in that quarter. I'm going to hand over to my colleague to do the financial performance report.
Do you want to come to it?
Yes.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you, actually, Honorable Chair. I will quickly take you through the financial information in terms of the expenditure up until the end of quarter three, starting in slide number 29. If we look at 29, we can see that actually the spending, overall spending at the end of December was at 70%. When you go and look at how actually this was broken up on slide number 30, you will see that the COD had a spending of 68% and the goods and services had 68%. You will see the overspending actually under assets of 119%, and overall is the 70% spend. So out of the allocation of the 6.5 billion rand, up until the end of December, we're projecting that we'll spend 4.9 billion rand. However, we managed to spend actually 4.6 billion rand, which actually there has been actually a savings or an underspending in line with your normally projected of about 75%. That should have been, which would be about 5% underspending in that regard. If we were to look on slide number 31, you will see that when we take out your compensation of employees, we look only on goods and services. We'll be able to really track the items that probably did not necessarily spend well in terms of the spending, which is a benchmark of about 75%. So it aligns exactly where probably we're not spending so well. Maybe to indicate and talk to some few, like your legal fees is sitting at about 25%. Obviously, that kind of spending is only triggered by the accounts because you only make a provision when you spend in terms of that. You will see that in the handling fees, which is actually a sizable amount, we have had actually a 2% savings out of the contract actually with the company that helps us to pay grants. And look, out of the 1.9 billion rand, we have actually projected to spend about 1.495 billion, but we stood actually at 1.4. 1.61 billion rand, which is about 34 million on one item that you see. So the 34 million is a significant amount in terms of that. If I were to really talk to the compensation of employees, there are two areas that when we fund for the positions we look into. One is at the beginning of the year. The second one actually is during the half of the year, which is the cutoff of the September amount. That's when we deal with the adjustment estimates. So already on slide number 21, the CEO actually indicated that we still had a lot of vacancies, about 676 vacancies that were there. So during that quarter, we only managed to fill actually 47 posts. We understand that the December month is a very difficult month to advertise positions. So obviously, the positions that were advertised during October and November were not finalized at the time in terms of the appointments during that quarter. Hence, you see that there is actually a significant number of positions that were still left vacant at that particular point. On the goods and services, we have had a significant savings around the management of the telephone management system. Actually, it has been rolled actually across the agency in all the regional offices. We have gone actually to extend or rolling that system actually to local offices, which prescribe the limits for officials to make calls. Only when they exceed that limit of 250 will they make a representation in terms of the increase to get an increase for them to be able to do more work. The handling fees, obviously, the fixed amount that we keep actually for the year until the end of the financial year, looking at the movement in terms of the grants, so we still actually realize the savings. We have had a significant number of leases that needed to be concluded actually by the end of the financial year. However, the leases are dependent to the processes in public works. So the delays in terms of the requisitions and the processing of requisitions, despite the fact that we have budgeted for that amount, that amount actually remains unspent because of the processes that it takes actually to get public works to finalize that. So we have had some of the funds that we set aside not spent in line with what we needed to deal with. The travel and subsistence in terms of the compliance with your Treasury directive in terms of setting the threshold of the 1,300 and also indicating actually that we can't just do the catering and other things that related to that actually has got a spin-off in terms of the agency in terms of that. So generally, in terms of the spending, we were below actually the norm, largely because of the reasons that I've alluded. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I'll just finalize my presentation. In terms of the risks and challenges, obviously the payment tender is now, the tender closed on the 8th of May. It's in the process of supply chain management with the administrative process now. And so we passed some of those hurdles. So we'll just see how it materializes by October, which is the time frame we've been giving. In terms of decreasing financial resources, SASSA does have a reserve, but as we go forward to CapEx for our future model, that's quite a large sum of money that will be required because we're still operating on mainly old, and as we automate particularly our registries, quite a large amount of money will be required for that, and we'll have to be constantly in discussion with the Treasury. Theft and corruption, I must say, after re-reg, there was a decline and it was only old matters we were dealing with in by majority, and then very recently the Northwest came with a new type of fraud. I don't mean the workers of, well, who knows, but there was a new manner of fraud on the new data set that we have, so that means we've got to look at how to close down those risks again. Disasters are always a pressure on SRD. I must say we didn't have any major fires, particularly in the Western Cape, during the December period, because sometimes it's bad. I just noticed last night they had the flooding again here, so that's automatically, because you have about 1,000 people being displaced at the time, so during that time. So it's always a risk and a challenge to SASSA. And then obviously the deductions ongoing issue, as well as the load shedding issues which hampers our work at times. In conclusion, Chair, this is
what we recommend to the portfolio committee to note and support our quarter three performance and expenditure. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Sasha for this comprehensive report that they gave us. And I think we're going to question on this report first. Then we'll go to social development report. But there's just a question I'd like to ask Sasha, or just Sasha, just to speak to us as the committee quickly before the chairperson takes over. When a person looks at the report of the Department of Social Development, then the report is first annual targets. Then the report speaks, this is the third quarter. I mean, this is, you know, quarter number three started. But when you look at SASA's report, SASA only speaks to annual targets, and then you measure yourself on those annual targets. So, for example, I can take page 23 of the previous report of social development, and you look at the social assistance program in your report, and you can go to the table. Then we can see there's a correlation, because look at there's an increase. But let us speak to us, why do you measure it on your annual targets and not the way the department is doing, where they put down that third quarter target? Thank you. Ma'am, you can take over. Yes.
In our APPs, we usually break them down into the lower work levels of where if it would be a million, we would say, okay, 250,000, 250. I mean, that's how we would do it. But we globally report from both that work, but then we also give the outlook from April to that period, so we add up. But we could adjust the way we do it in future to come with alignment, because then it would just mean that we uplift the APP sub-targets and bring up the sub-targets. We will happily do that now.
I am happy that, because it's also for record purposes, that when you say, if you are going to talk about the third quarter, immediately you should be orientated to that when you look into the document. Even if your sequence will actually take us to say, then I'm going to follow with the alignment. So I think the member is satisfied. The floor is open. I take that. Honorable Wilson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Salsa, for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. The one is under litigation. You talk about 5 alleged wrongful suspensions, 2 labour, 6 social grants under the one area. The concern is, number one, that it is under one area. And what is the current status of these wrongful suspensions? Normally lead to very costly litigation. Where are we standing with that? And the other concern is the vacancies, and I know we discuss this at every meeting, but I'm going to raise it again, particularly if we go to, I think it's slide 21. Sorry, I'm just checking this with the right slide. I think it's slide 21. Yes, okay. Now, we currently have 676 vacancies. There were 47 new appointments, but 234 terminations, of which 138 were contract. Now, when we are sitting with a huge vacancy rate, why are we sitting with those amount of terminations? Surely there is ways and means then to use those people who are on contract if they're sufficiently qualified. And I know that you have spent extensive money training contract workers. could we not have used some of those to fill some of those vacancies? We seem to have a continual gap where we seem to bring it down and then we let a whole lot of people go and we're back to square one. That is a concern. The RIF did raise the question that we don't have quarterly targets to measure against. And on the biometrics, the work that you're doing with CSIR, are we at a pilot project stage? Have we started a pilot project? And if you can give us an idea of costs to date on what this exercise is costing us. And finally, if you could just give us an idea of what the overspend on assets are.
Excuse me, honorable member. Can I confine you for now with the two questions that are very extensive? The CEO, you had the vacancy issue. You also, in fact, you will talk broadly on your human resource development plan, so as to be able to cater for the answer and also give us a way forward. Excuse me, and then can I acknowledge the whip? I saw your hand up. You are welcome. We received your apology.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether I listened to you properly, but I'd like you to explain again page 24 to us, you know, the fraud management. Because I think there is a question I have, but I first want to listen, because I would like to ask a question, and the question becomes irrelevant at this moment. And because... yes, I know I want to ask you. Then when it comes to page 9, where you speak about approval, rejected, outstanding, what were the rejections there? I think it's important to say why. And then, what have you got that's outstanding? And then what I'd like to ask you, you see when it comes to fraud management, litigations, everything you spoke to here from page 21, yes, from page 21 onwards. You said it's from 2011. Yes. But now my question is, if it's from 2011, how does it affect the current budget? Because that is all, you know, problematic to us. You're not giving your quarterly targets. So you're missing out here. Because it means quarterly targets will go till that period. So there's a miss somewhere. Although it do correlate with DSD's report that they're giving for the third quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, mine is also related to the contract workers' discrimination. Is the case where their salary bracket is much higher and therefore they do not want to work on a permanent scale, and what is it that makes them not want to apply for permanent positions, because I would think that they would want to. Then also, what is the criteria for the dependency care grant? On your new appointments, just for interest's sake, how many of these people employed are people with a disability? Thank you.
Your hands are full, you can answer for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will answer, but also ask my team to support me. Perhaps, Ms. Ogle, could you do the fraud? And then I'm going to come to Frank Earl. I'm going to move in that way.
Good morning. Yes, you can speak if that question is dedicated to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, members of the committee, DG and CEO and colleagues. In terms of the question by the Honourable Member with regards to the fraud management compliance statistics as on page 24, the first response with regards to the CEO having mentioned, Honourable Chair and members, that cases were sort of calculated or listed from 2011. prior to 2012-2013, we did not have a system in the South African Social Security Agency where we list these cases. So we started developing the fraud case management system in May of 2012 with the assistance and the work done by our IT component. The developers have worked very hard at reaching this innovative system. Basically, what we then did was we then registered all the cases that we had across the country on the system in 2012-2013. And therefore, we will note, Honourable Chair and Members, that for 2012-2013, we will see we had 7,734 cases. Those were all the cases that were never registered before, that were never recorded anywhere, that we captured on this newly developed system. The system is evolving, and it's currently also undergoing enhancements. When we started, Honourable Chair and Members, it was a very new system. It was primitive. I say it respectfully so, and with gratitude to the IT team, whereby we merely captured the cases so that we could at least see. The case was received, we assessed it, what are we going to do? Because every complaint does not necessarily result in an investigation. So we have an assessment methodology. We determine whether there is substantiation, whether it should be investigated, whether there is no substantiation, can we follow up with the complainant? No, we can't, then we close the matter. If it is a case that does not fall within our scope and mandate, we refer it to the necessary business unit or other department or entity. But the case is captured. So in the second year, 2013-2014, we could then do enhancements whereby which we could now also capture on the system whether the case is closed or referred, whether it's investigated, what are the investigative outcomes. To date, we are able to track the case from cradle to grave, proverbially speaking. Initially, Chairperson, in the year under review, we could not exactly determine what cases were investigated, closed, or referred in a particular quarter. Now the system has evolved to the extent with the enhancements by IT developers where we can determine that for the full financial year. What I can give relative comfort of is, as CEO has indicated, Honourable Chair Members, there is always a backlog. So we started with the 7,734 cases. To date, we have had 12,000 plus cases captured on the system. In the specific quarter under review, I've just confirmed with the colleagues, we cannot exclude work that we've done, Chairperson. So we capture all the investigations and outcomes, all the referrals and cases closed for a particular financial year or period. But we have reached the targets for the specific quarter two. So if we are to ask out of the cases that were reported in that specific quarter three, we have achieved our target in terms of 62%, and the target is 60%. But with all the other work that was done in that specific quarter, and we've had a high productivity quarter in terms of quarter three, we've done a lot of high-profile matters, high-volume cases, which emanated from the previous quarter. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I want you to say that sometimes the process of fraud investigations take almost sometimes 4 years before a matter goes to court and is finally, because the workers have to go to court and they are witnesses in the matter. So we can't say the case wasn't closed. We have to recognize it whenever it happens. So it would add to that particular quarter over and above the cases that were reported in that quarter. But I think for future reference, I want Ms. Ogle to tell her team to divide it in this was reported in this time and completed. This is a carry through from the past cases so we can have a better understanding. Because I think it's now all lumped into one number, and that creates the confusion. So you see 558 investigations versus the 263 only reported, of which we did 62% of that number. So that they'll have a dual block in their reporting columns to show you which were old cases coming through. Because by the time our workers get to court to speak on the matter, it could be 2 or 3 years on average if they go the litigation route. That has happened to us by the time we sometimes finish things. So I'm asking that team to consider breaking the number down for carried
through from previous quarters or previous years, when the investigations are concluded and the matters resolved, and then giving the current of that quarter as the number and what of that. I think that might give clarity in the future to our reporting of the matter. It also impacts costing, because we have litigation costs not coming through in that year even, never mind the quarter. We sometimes get bills, very big bills come in a year, in a particular year, and you say, but hang on, what happened here now? And then they track it back to 2010, to 2011. The Justice Department finally woke up, the Justice Department kindly figured they could redeem money very fast, and they went through their bills and they said, hey, hang on, Sasa, we did 20 cases for you, this is average, we paid the state attorney contracted legal term. It's fine for you, so now you must pay us now. And we said, but when was that matter? And you actually have to go back. We have some matters going back to 2006-07 when SAS was started. There's currently three matters on record going right back to inception. Some of the matters date back to when SAS was part of DSC, currently on the roll. And so when the bills come because of the length of time, it's going to be big bills. So the predictability of your spending is affected by the way the system works. And we've tried our best to manage our part. Now we just need to manage the interface with the justice part for the claims process. The same happens to DSC, where we're sharing with provincial DSC. They won't claim for a year, and then all of a sudden the next year. So these things we're trying to work on. In terms of the contract post, I want to speak to that. This year, the Department of Labor actually notified us during the third quarter that people who were contractors are not contractors against a project. Because you have projects, you have fixed-term contracts, I'm on a fixed-term contract. Then you have contractors linked to a specific program, whether it be the files that were burnt out in KZN or particularly communication we want to do with our beneficiaries, but some of them don't read the paper or listen to the radio, so we have to do door-to-door. So we get contractors for that period. And when the job is done, that contract is over. We hope to have given them work exposure. SASA has a limited COE gap. People keep looking at the big size that we could become. That's only when we pay our grants. So in certain areas, we are under pressure with our staff, and we would like to retain the staff who've been with us because they learn. But we were told that you would have to take on all the workers on contract if they remain with you in April. If they're linked to a contract, you must end your contract piece of work, a project. But if they're not, you're going to absorb them, and we have to absorb in April, which will be reflected in our future reports that we come. Those that are linked to a job which could be seen as a permanent job but were on contract. The others who were linked to projects.
Maybe.
Their projects in.
To amend that question for you.
Yes,
law requires that you don't create expectations. Yes, so you then have to terminate.
Yes.
But my question then, to add to that question, would be when you advertise, because any contract, when it comes to an end of the contract period, you have to terminate it and to notify those people earlier. But then they stand a chance, because of their experience, to come back if the post is advertised. I wanted so that question doesn't come up again.
Okay.
Here are these contract workers, then the normal arrangement is that you will write to them in 3 months time to say your contract will remind you, it will end after a certain stage. But then the question becomes, how many people do we lay out that will have a particular skill and are classified under unemployed. So can you help us whether there is an opportunity for them to apply if the post is still advertised, even for contract purposes? Thank you.
I will ask Ms. Simonioni to just unpack that a bit more, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, CEO, Chairperson and Honourable Member. Yes, we do give opportunities to people that we've already invested in. The public service policy in general says post well advertised in the public service, unless you cannot find somebody within the public service, cannot be advertised externally. But as SASSA, we amended our policy to allow interns, EPWPs, and contract workers to apply as internal candidates, and that gives them a better chance over and above the fact that they have experience, but they stand a better chance of accessing some of the posts. But some of the posts that they are reflected in the presentation here also includes interns and EPWPs. And an internship, it's not necessarily a job. It's the learnership. So when those contracts come to an end, they have to be terminated in line with the law, but those people are also given an opportunity to contend, to compete for the positions that we advertise. And most of the people that we train, we end up actually absorbing into SASSA as and when posts become available. Unfortunately, we do not have sufficient posts. You might find that we take up 600 EPWPs, but we only have 200 posts. So which means, unfortunately, we have to lay some of them off. But some leave SASSA, and then later, when we have other posts in other areas, they still apply and come back again. So we do consider them as internal candidates.
But that was the gist of what was required. Can we allow the CEO to move to the second or third question?
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm going to ask Mr. Earl to speak to the biometric project, the outcome of pilot, relationship with CSIR.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Just for the record, the CSIR is the Centre for Industrial and Scientific Research, which is an agency that reports to the Department of Science and Technology. SASSA has contracted them to do several work, which includes a feasibility study in terms of developing a payment system for SASSA in terms of an in-source model. Part of their work would have been to develop an as-is situation in terms of the current payment model, which obviously involves the application and the payment as an end-to-end solution in preparation if SASSA has to take over the payment in itself. Currently, the work that they've completed at the moment, they have documented the total as-is application to payment system. At the moment, what they're busy is they're developing, obviously, they're doing the research in terms of a development of an interim and a permanent system for SASSA. We say interim on the understanding is that if we have to move to a new system, we've been advised, it's always advisable to move to an interim rather than moving straight to, given the risks that are concerned over the 16 million people. So that's one of the cost of those two deliverables is 11 million rand. The second element that they're busy with at the moment is a development of an identification and enrollment system. Currently, the enrollment system is outsourced to the contractor. We want to bring it in terms of the current RFP. Enrollment is not accommodated in this, so SASSA would be taking over the enrollment itself. So within that research, they would develop a specification which would then indicate what hardware and software and what requirements SASSA would need to be able to take over the enrollment in itself. And the cost of that is about 6 million rand. The last element that they're busy with is the biometric standard for card verification method for beneficiaries who transact using banks or point of sale devices in terms of where if you would then need to transact, given the fact that most pensioners are vulnerable to fraud as a result of PIN. So the specification will then indicate that people will then have the option to verify themselves through their card using their fingerprints at an ATM. So in essence, once the specification has been developed and the project obviously is in partnership with the Central Bank, the Payments Association of South Africa and Home Affairs, which would then allow the bank to the central bank to instruct the all 22 banks in South Africa who want to participate in biometric card verification to roll out biometric enabled ATM and point of sale devices in the country. So in essence, this would be rolled out over 21,000 banks, including the 300,000 point of sale devices that are spread across the entire retail sector in South Africa. It must then be understood that it is only those banks who wish to participate in this. Now, SASSA's involvement is a stakeholder, but it has a vested interest in terms of its 10.2 million cardholders, hence its involvement in thing. But the project is largely driven, obviously, by the Central Bank and Home Affairs, who are the custodians of the card verification method and, of course, the holders of the biometric data within South Africa. Just to then conclude, part of the work that they would do, it would be an interface between SASSA and all of the banks that would interface directly with Home Affairs. So at inception, if you need to open up an account, that simply means you'd put your finger on a device and then Home Affairs would be able to confirm your identity immediately online, so whether you have a SASSA office or whatever. Just in conclusion, the CSIR does not develop systems, neither does it implement. It does the research. It will then advise the government department or agency what equipment and what software and facilitate the implementation plan. SAS, in essence, will still have to go out on tender to procure the items that it needs. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. I need you to address the items on what does rejection of grants mean, why do we reject a person's application, and why grants are outstanding in that quarter.
Most of the grants that would be rejected, and I think that it also talks to the issue in terms of that CFO indicated around the underspending in terms of the service fees. Most grants obviously are rejected as a result of people applying, and of course in terms of disability grants and independencies, where the first people are found not to be eligible as a result of their medical condition. And in most cases, it would be the disability grants, and some of them would be related to means tests. And, of course, in certain other categories would be care dependencies where the children would be found to be medically fit in itself. In large cases, also, it's a result of the potential fraud where we get complaints in terms of the potential we would then suspend or lapse the grant, obviously, and as a result, while the investigation is currently underway. But also coupled with what Theo had mentioned earlier is that children turning 18 at the end of the year, those grants are, of course, lapsed. And, of course, your TDGs, which is your temporary disability grants, every month are, in fact, lapsed because they've reached the period that was allocated, which is 6 to 12 months, and that, in essence, does affect the number of grants, and also the fact that CPS only then pays grants to people who have activated their cards. So in essence, if there's 10.2 million on card holders and only 10 million have in fact activated their cards, the 200,000 we would not pay for those, obviously, because they were not paid for the month. Thank you, Sue.
You also address the conditions under which a care dependency grant would be awarded.
Thank you. We have assessment guidelines in terms of doctors that would follow that, how they would in essence have to assess a care dependent child. Now, in the absence of any harmonized assessment tool, SAS has developed its own guidelines which are standardized across the 9 provinces. These guidelines have been developed, and doctors throughout the various institutions, including health, the contracted doctors have been trained on them, and I think the guidelines are available for perusal in terms of where the doctor would follow these guidelines in trying to assess a child that would obviously be deemed to be medically unfit. And in most cases, the conditions would vary from child to child or from family to family, and the doctors will assist based on those guidelines. Now, we know that there's a large number of rejections that also come from care-dependent grants because certain conditions might not deem the child to be medically unfit, and hence then the parents obviously would obviously then appeal. There are cases which range from, you know, autistic children, sovereign in terms of, and in some of those particular cases, the grants might also be rejected as a result of the income of the fairies, because generally, mostly, it's larger from middle to large incomes. But the details of the assessment, which is of a technical nature, those are available, obviously, for people to peruse and understand things.
I can assist, but sometimes people say, my child is cerebral palsy. But the cerebral palsy is not to such a degree that the child requires 24-hour care. Those are conditions that we introduce. There was a challenge a few years ago, but if a child is blind, if a child is given mobility aids, it becomes more independent. It does perhaps not need. And then there are kids in institutions. So this has been... The walk through care dependency sometimes is difficult. But SASE is dependent on a doctor, a diagnostic, to say what type of care this child will require, and therefore it will require a permanent carer, essentially, to take care of the child. So we are advised through a medical team and the instruments we have at our disposal. But this, I always say to people, SASA staff, the level 5 person who who takes your application is not the medical person who actually has to assist us in making that decision. The guidelines with the medical report that would say this child would require this care paradigm, therefore they will require a care dependency grant. On the issue of the wrongful suspension, that is the term the lawyer who writes us the letter terms it. In our opinion, it is a rightful suspension. The issue is that if you do not conclude a matter in 60 days, the worker is allowed to return. In this matter, these are workers at the regional office in the Eastern Cape. The legal matter is continuing. So sometimes the workers will say what the matter is in terms of the person's perception of the matter, not what legally is the matter. This has got to do with fraud. So we will continue this investigation. It's going to take some time, but it will be concluded based on the evidence we have in this regard, because I know that's the Eastern Cape matter. I'm going to ask...
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying around the disability grants and the care dependency, very often is that the doctor who's assessing is largely dependent on the medical information as being provided by the hospital or clinic, and those include the clinic notes and the referrals and things. In order for the doctor to make an informed decision, it's dependent on those clinical notes and the assessment forms that was done at the hospital. Now, SASA does not own that information. It's owned by health. Very often the patient has to ask for that information to bring it to SASA to help them, the doctor, make an informed decision based on that. So we always encourage people to try to get as much of the information, including the clinical notes, from the attending physician who obviously does assess that patients. Thank you, Chair. That was just the...
We have a question on assets and expenditure, acting CFO.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. In terms of the assets and how we have went about buying assets, I think during the second quarter, we did indicate that during the year 2013-14, part of the major spending was on buying of cars. Some of the cars were not necessarily delivered in 2013-14. They were only delivered during the year 2014-15. However, the transfers relating to the money for those cars were transferred to SASA already because of the cash flow projections that we do from Treasury that comes from DSC. So that money actually sat in the SASA bank account at that time. So currently, when we have to pay it, it does not necessarily come off from the budget for the 2014-15. It comes from what we said the rollover, under normal circumstances, we said the rollover amount, which is currently sitting actually on the SASA bank account. Hence, we did not allocate the money for the cars, which was 80 million. But for the rest of the assets that we budgeted for, we budgeted for the 2014-15. So the amount which is overspending here
is the cars that are coming from the previous year, which the money actually is available in the surplus bank account, which we call it retained surplus funding. And under normal circumstances, we say that it's a rollover. Because when SASA has a surplus funding, we apply to Treasury to keep back the money as an agency. And that money, once we get an approval, then we can utilize it actually to pay for whatever we need to pay. This actually relates to all other activities relating to the litigation cases that are coming from them. Normally, when we do the financial statement of the year, we make a provision for the cases that are currently running, make an estimate how much profit those cases are likely to cost us. And when we finalize the budget for the year, we do set aside that amount of money to cover any shortfall that will come in relation to the spending for the year.
There's just one more outstanding, the disability number.
Okay. Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chair. I must be honest, we're not really doing that well with regards to the recruitment of people with disabilities. I cannot remember exactly in this quarter, but at the end of March 2015, as at the end of the financial year, we're standing at 1.2%. However, we're fortunate because we have a deputy minister who's very passionate about issues of disability, and she's engaged us in a very robust discussion, and she's given us some ideas in terms of how we can recruit, we can attract people with disabilities. So we will be issuing adverts. We have identified already posts that we believe should be filled by people with disabilities, right from senior management to the lower level. And we will be utilizing the organizations that deal with disabilities to advertise these posts. And we will also be reviewing our manner of interviews and the whole recruitment process. Because sometimes we want to appoint the people with hearing disabilities, but we expect them to come for an interview. Now how are they going to hear? The other thing that we're doing is to train our staff on disability, particularly on sign language, and we will be appointing sign language interpreters to be of assistance to our own staff, but at the same time, we'll be deploying them to the local offices to be there, because we believe that much as we're deploying all the mobile trucks and everything, there's a possibility that we continue to exclude people who cannot hear us. Because the fact that there's a truck there doesn't mean the person can understand what we're saying. So we'll be appointing those people as a matter of agency to make sure that we have coordinators of particularly sign language services within SASA for the benefit of our beneficiaries as well as of our staff, because we believe that that has been one of the barriers why people were not applying for jobs probably at SASA. So we're trying to deal with all the barriers that prevent people from applying.
Okay. Okay. In terms of the beneficiary.
Okay, finished.
For us as a service delivery, it is important to say you have people who can engage people in sign language. So we've had training done for more than 200 workers. We've sought them out as champions. But we were also looking at our shortfalls in the actual training. So together, to serve people better, we have to get that sorted, but also to retain staff with disabilities, because just this month, we were checking how many people left us to go to other departments. So that means SASA will have to look at its provisions around a person with a disability. And some of the concerns that raised have been that they feel that they have to talk to themselves, the few that exist, because there's no communication channel with the managers. So we've had to look at how, and we also have to look at the levels at which the majority are in the lower levels, but also make sure throughout the organization, at all levels, we represent disability. So our strategy should be complete. We've promised by the end of, in fact, this month, we got really wrapped over the knuckles quite hard, that we will, A, look at our percentage and even improve with the new strategy, but look at serving our people with disabilities better.
Thank you very much.
I think it's something the report will have to think about, SASA action, because they're coming back with the fourth quarterly report, the last quarter. This page 24 of theirs, it gives a very skewed picture, you know, of what is being done. Particularly needed things within that year, but it went back.
And then at the same time, it has an impact on their budget. Then a person look at your, you know, the page you speak about your administration. There you have legal fees, but your legal fees is on 24%. And it's supposed to be, you know, the way you speak in higher, because there's still about 76% left, which means you're not paying on time. You're not doing it within that 30 days. You know, you can pick that up. And then at the same time, you think too, what is the AG going to say when it comes to these? And then how is it going to look in your annual report? Because it falls under human resource. So there's going to be quite a lot of interrogation that will still come up on this next, your next report, and when it comes to your annual report, because a person don't want to preempt what will AG say, you know, how things are going to look. Thank you. It's a comment, because I have to think about it, okay. Honorable Kappa.
Okay, thank you very much. But I just want to further emphasize what I can see as a gap, DG, between the operations of SAFA and the OS and agents, not necessarily, even if they were your employees. The issue of the social workers has gone out of picture, because some of these matters that are being raised here are more social, because this is social development job to service the vulnerable groups in our country. In the whole process, you don't feel there has been a participation of a social worker with the expertise of a social issues. For example, if you are disabled and you go to a doctor for an appeal, who else is going to unpack your inabilities? Because now this becomes very medical to say she can walk those, but my walking has got a holistic effect on my well-being. So I think this matter, I don't think the establishment of a SASA as an agency was to actually remove the duty of the social worker within a family with these disabilities. Not unless I'm going to be told that there are these social workers. That's another point, CEO, that in your offices, although you might be having social workers, that's why I'm going back this comment to a Department of Social Development. They are not available to assist when people are queuing and are doing everything. The social workers are doing some management work elsewhere. And even if you are to be referred to a social worker, they are not ready to attend to a problem now. In actual fact, I want to believe that some of the delays in getting the grant approved lies with social development, though the work is being done by SASA. I would want the committee to note this, so that in future we are able to deal with this, not necessarily from the point of presentation, but as a matter of principle, that our social workers are actually getting out of the system, but surprisingly enough, they're getting more and more in development. Or we are going more social workers to do agricultural work under social development and SASA with their skill, which they would utilize more effectively if they were dealing with the social issues. I think when you do your set plan, please come together, guys. This matter of social development, in fact, the decision who gets it is always queried. And the decision
who get this grant in aid is extremely a concern. The grant in aid, all those smaller yana privileges, more than rights, are leaving us with a lot of really a litany of questions. But I have this to say. The presentation is for this quarter. But what has actually taken place, we had agreed as this committee that when we discuss the presentations, the minister agreed we will include issues that were raised by the opposition in the debate. You know, the corruption that they were actually trying to, the corruption that was being raised, I would want us, you can come back for a moment because I'm raising your issue here. You are welcome to come back, ma'am. Even if you take your tea, you will find us still dealing with the same issue. Now, the issue of corruption is a matter that has not been scientifically, actually, technically brought up to us. And I think the plan now that we must come out with is for, because we are dealing with CEO, I think it's going to be important to visit, especially the Eastern Cape. Maybe you are not comfortable to say Eastern Cape while I sit here. But what you are raising is what I also hear about. So I think we need to go to the Eastern Cape. Because you have got the provincial, is it provincial coordinator? Provincial coordinator.
Executive.
Yes, that's an executive. There's a lot of power if there is an executing power in that office. To go and meet all the top management, I mean from the province to the regions, whatever you term them. But also when you are there, the Premier of the Eastern Cape will have to be part of the meeting. Because in my understanding, DG, we refer to you because you are the custodian. We refer to you knowing that you are not doing that work, but you do fund the project for the work to be done to SASSA. So the mistakes that SASSA commits in the process reflect a DSD that is required. So I think for us to be, you are very welcome. We were your apology and we were all knowing that you would soon arrive. So I think from where we're sitting here in Parliament, we suspect that the provincial level in the Eastern Cape, I don't know, we will think of another one, but I think Eastern Cape is in the spotlight. And then when they talk and when they debate in the house, they actually want to say SASSA. They also want to say a Department of Social Development. They are not zooming into areas where they can actually substantiate that this particular region or local area is corrupt in SASSA. To do us a favor, because I don't think CEO, you are God, you are able to see the heart inside before you make an appointment. People speak very, especially those who are a little bit naughty, they can be very good in your interview, but they can actually give you something you never expected when they actually perform. So mine was to say, honorable members, it's important that the provincial executive in the Eastern Cape, together with all the other sub-executives down the line, were able to meet with the Premier. Because this problem in the Eastern Cape is also the fact that SASSA is not subjecting themselves to the supervision or reporting mechanism to the DSG. Although I think for us to assist SASSA in all these allegations in that province, Honorable Wilson, is that we need to meet with the provincial executive of the Eastern Cape, given the limitation of the law in terms of national having an overarching authority in provinces. But I think there is no law that prohibits national to go to provinces. But there is this feeling, Honorable Minister, as if provinces are a small entity that is provincial. You can hear that when they use their own language. Bafunanda bantu la. So abo bantu kwa bafunani ngabaga national. Minister, I can take you through. We were dealing with this report, but we also addressed the issues that were raised of because also the CEO is not comfortable with the corruption allegations. In fact, it started with the litigation in the Eastern Cape that they continue to come forward as if people then, you know, in the Eastern Cape, lawyers work, their duty is to litigate government. Their duty is to say, we take this government to court because schools are not built. And they give them a dictatorship, whether the government can afford or not, to say these mad schools must have been eradicated by this time, the books by this time. Then there are these cluster groups where they take cases of social development to court. I don't know whether they call it a class action, but there are people who go along looking for complaints and then mobilize these complaints so that when we go to court, they also get paid. So what we were saying then, this is identified mainly in the Eastern Cape, and the allegations that so many litigations, so many people who are disabled, whose applications were not processed in time, all these things, they come in the main from Eastern Cape. But I think the provincial government must take responsibility also of explaining this matter. When I say provincial government, I'm not referring to the Department of Social Development. I'm saying the Premier himself must be on board on this abuse, because there might be corruption, but there might also be abuse of the opportunity to take the government to court. So we are actually making a proposal from this meeting that we need to meet the provincial executive of SASSA in the Eastern Cape so that they can explain for themselves. I don't know when we were DG inviting them also to come and tell us their story. Honorable Wilson, this I think is addressing what was raised by Honorable Kopana, who is not present. We are not saying why did you raise it. We are saying if you raise it as a political party, we also as this committee, because we are a member, look deeper in what you were saying so that you can be satisfied that when you participate in this meeting and when you participate in the debate, those matters are being followed up. We would like to get the list that Honorable Kopana, who's not here, was actually citing, that there were so many cases, so that we can unpack that list and then we can zoom in to areas where you think corruption is rife. We are not saying it's not there, but we are saying there are perceptions that it is there, and we therefore want to legitimize, to say it is there, this is what we are doing. We also say it is said, it is there, but we have not identified it. So I don't think CEO will respond to that, because I think we can just single out the most a province that has got the most allegations and work directly with those executives that are deployed by SASA, and also bring in Eastern Cape government to also ensure that this is supported. And we will leave it to the to SASA to say whether this is possible or it is prohibited by law. I mean the issue of having to interact with that particular province at a provincial level of SASA. In terms of maybe give the minister to want to get clarification in this matter, because it's just arrived. Before you respond, Honorable Minister, you are very welcome, but we are talking about your house. As the head of that house, you might be wanting to clarify issues. Why are we arriving at such critical proposals?
In order to give minister at least a minute of where we are and what issues are being raised, I think when we looked at quarter, first quarter and second quarter, both the Eastern Cape had 26 grant-related litigation, but also KZN. But you would see in the third quarter, in fact, there was a reduction of that litigation. So I think we are getting it, and I think the one case that we had earlier on as to a suspension, that's where this conversation started, those matters in court. So whilst in the first quarter and the second quarter on the page following
page 26, I'll just open up and get us there.
We in fact showed a reduction. So it has the matters that were raised, and we could see that the grant matters were quite high. It's the same with the challenges we had in the appeal tribunal, where a lot of the cases have been in the Eastern Cape and KZN, both those provinces. So we continue to work consistently. So you will see in the third quarter there was a decline, actually, in the litigation that we had previously. But we prepared to write a full comprehensive report on what the outcomes were. There's also people who go to the SASA offices. They tout for work, lawyers. They stand there trying to say, are you waiting long for your grant? Is there a rejection? Can we take you on as a customer, particularly in the Eastern Cape and KZN? So we'll look at it and see how to further deal with it. If there is an instruction that we'll look at it differently in the future, this I'll be guided by my principal now.
Maybe, DJ, you can come in and because we don't want to cause you to do what you are not supposed to do in terms of law. But we argue that we don't think there is any prohibiting law to actually take matters out to a particular province if its performance is not, because it might decline, but when it is said, it's bloated, and it's deliberate that they go to the actual choose minister and ask people, how long have you been in this queue? And they also go to the long queues when people were given an opportunity to draw their money on any other day. But on the same day, they all go there and some end up dying in the queue when they were actually able to go to any bank in South Africa in their area or to go to any other pay point. But they all go to town to one pay point which is not capacitated to deal with their big number on one single day. So this matter we need to sort out so that our side of the story is known by South Africans that in any way, this is not the actual problem, but the actual problem is also a need to expose as if this department or this SASSA agency, because I take note, Minister, when they were saying SASSA is not required, close down SASSA. So if for me to say I'm not going to agree together this committee to SASSA to go away, we must be able to substantiate our basis of argument. So the DG can throw light. Yes, you can be new as a DG, but you are not new in South Africa, especially in those offices. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. We are going to be having a workshop with the HODs and the HSDS. Maybe this matter is a matter that we, together with SASSA, will be discussing on that workshop and see what is it that we can do. And the inspectorate is about to start. We are busy with the appointments of the people in the inspectorate. We feel that this inspectorate too will play a major role in going deeper into those investigations. Because when you look at the things that are taking place, they are different. When there is a rejection because of a person does not qualify, and then the issues of delay in the issue of the appeals, then it gives a gap to the lawyers to get into that space. And we have discussed this thing between ourselves and SASSA. There has been a great improvement because now things are being scanned and sent direct. Once the rejection takes place from the province, it goes straight to the appeals. Hence, the appeals are becoming more and taking quicker than we had before. Because when you look at the litigations, some of these cases are cases that are older cases that have been there for a while. So maybe we will discuss it with SASSA and we'll discuss it in the HSDS. I am not too sure what is it that the provincial executive will be able to do in this case, which happens in those vicinities. But we can still explore and sit down with you and discuss it at length. Because when you look into this thing, it's just a technical thing that they get into, and the lawyers are clever by nature. This is what they do. They look for gaps, and they get to gaps. And those gaps must be gaps that are created by us, not created by the provinces per se. But it so happened that they hit KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. Those are the areas that they target because there are more beneficiaries in those two areas, and they don't usually go to the others where these things are. But I would request that maybe myself and the CEO will sit down and look into it deeper, and then come back next time that we come and report onto it as to what is it that we are going to do.
But if only we could not limit the scope within only on issues of appeals, but on these allegations, for example, the many letters, complaints that are in my office would be coming from East London office. Yes, many, that there has been a forensic investigation, these people are changing that, and litany of these issues. That's why I think it is important for us at least to come closer. But indeed, I still know that how SASSA has been, because now I'm not a new South African, how SASSA has improved. But I can't sit here and argue that because when I was there, there were still these, now these were changed, and come and bring that information here. It's better for all of us to go to where they say there is a smoke and check if there's fire, and we can come back and debate this issue in the house and say, yes, there was something that there was looked like a fire there, smoke, but we found none, or we did get the fire. Thank you to those who alerted us. So I think we need to become more committed to, if there is an allegation, we zoom in there so that we can clear the air before we are just in. While we do so much good work, little things tarnish our ability to be a shining star. Because people want to copy from you. Countries want to copy from how you are managing, because one important thing is that, one, South Africa is the only country that is doing well. That is why there's people from Lesotho, people from Swaziland, from Botswana, they use the same surnames. They cross the borders, they get their grants. In the evening, they go back to their countries because they can't come in, because there's none in their country. There is none. There are any grant minister for Lesotho. So, Singele, Kwazulu-Natal, and all these areas along Matatiele, you cannot, because they are all misreferents, they are all Mifukens, so you won't know who is who. So this means, therefore, we are doing good work. Mm-hmm. But let us avoid any attempt to make it not work well. The other allegation, Sasa, that we need to look into is this issue that we are buying votes using grant. I hope honorable members are going to engage in this, because there is nothing that we are saying must not be said when we debate. But we are also saying, if you, a member who is actually a member of the committee in particular finds that undibonile dithengiswa ukutya, okanye they have some say these get sold in the spaza shops, etc. These are the things we want to eradicate if they exist. But we also want to give answer if indeed it is being misused. So I can allay the anxiety that members must not be thinking that when we are here, we find a smaller yana corner to kill your Dracula vein. No, ours is to ensure that what is being said, we then come and see and reflect and then be able to be honest to ourselves and know what work is going to be done. Because I know we're going for elections next year, but now we have agreed that poverty and prices are extremely, Mama Wilson, up. You can go with 1,000 in the shop and come back with only one checker with food. So there is more increment in terms of us wanting to go and give the food process. Mama Fander, remember the other thing is this diesel thing or petrol, when its price increases, the grocery in the shop has already been there, but they immediately increase the price, claiming that no, transporting is expensive. So the support using food parcels is essential. But if we are misusing or abusing that opportunity, we want to come clean and say that we are dealing with these problems. So I think that was the matter. So we don't have to argue this matter, but we are clear of what you will do, and you will also involve us so that the political side in the Eastern Cape is supporting to your action. Thank you very much.
Well, I think, too, if we're on the situation where we're going to have to be open and transparent, let's be open and transparent. I can bring you, in a week, 1,000 affidavits of people in Limpopo who have been told in door-to-doors by the ruling party that if they do not vote for the ruling party, they are going to lose their grant. Not one. I can give you 1,000 affidavits in a week. That needs to be addressed. I can also bring you affidavits of people who are saying that when it comes to elections or by-elections or what have you, you will get a food parcel provided you assure us that you're going to give us your vote. Now, people do not understand how to separate government from the ruling party. The ANC is not the government. And there is a constitutional right to grant. But we've got to stop this, Minister. It can't go on.
let alone, let me assist you, just a minute, Minister. I don't think we need to be really emotional about this. When we actually debate, we can be as emotional as we want. But I also, Honorable Minister, please bear with me. We are not necessarily wanting to say everyone out there is a member of the ANC, or members of the ANC are members of this parliament, all of them. I think that's the reason we have elections. We elect from, it's difficult when DA people, if I may say that example, and I appeal to you that for us to correct these matters, we need to open up for engagement. We are not addressing the minister now. All we are here is to say why you feel like this. And therefore, those who are in charge, the ruling party, because I would avoid the situation where somebody stand up and say GA does it too, and also say UDM does it too. So we shouldn't be in that arrangement. Because I've been also in, I'm deployed in Khayelitsha as an MP. And what confronts me on a daily basis, thanks God I'm matured. And maturity plays a role. They will come to me, they say, they take EPWP to GA members. They take this part because there is no scientific report. I cannot stand up and say, indeed, this is true. So I think we need to know that the people outside there are not necessarily members of parliament. If they do it, it's then because, for example, if someone says, because you are not DA, you are not going to be appointed to this post, are we saying DA is saying that, or is that particular individual person? Because I'm not getting a sense that says an official, a social worker, or what went to a particular house and said, you are not going to get your grant because you are now a DA member. So my request is a clear separation between what is the policy of the government. Does the policy of government say people who are not our members are not going to get grant? The policy issue. Or is this person able to point to a person and say, this is this lady or this gentleman who is saying to me, because government people are always having a label, something like a here that says who these people are. So I would want us, I'm pleading, and I'm sorry Honorable Governor is not here, I'm pleading you will give a opportunity to other members. Because you have raised the issue. They want to actually respond. But in short, whip, Honorable Whip, though I'm not undermining your ability, I don't want us to respond in the same manner. Please do.
Then, okay, I just want to clarify something because
yes.
I think you might have misunderstood me as well.
Yes.
I am not pointing fingers at officials. Okay. I'm not saying it's social workers, I'm not saying it's staff, I'm not saying officials of the entities are doing
yes.
it. It's representatives of parties on the ground. I am not
okay.
pointing fingers at officials. I have no reason to believe that officials are making those things.
Okay.
Now, but people do not know the difference between who is an official and who is not on the ground.
Now then, it's good. What is in front of us is more clearer now. We can actually see trees now. Because the Honorable Member is not accusing any official from the department or from the agency. It's saying it's the representatives out there. So we will deal with that matter finally. But we now clear who is being accused. No, Mama, so that you might have gone out. But we wanted to tease out the issue that this department is utilizing food parcels for buying foods, so that when we leave, we have laid this to rest, so that it is not continuously coming up in each debate in the Parliament. However, we are also saying members of this committee are parliamentarians by election. They have the right to take action in that level, at that level, against those people who are doing such a bad thing. So the week now was going to come in, and I will acknowledge Honorable Van der Merwe, and I will continue instilling in our mind that we have a constructive debate here and not a destructive one. Please come, Mama Whip.
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. To me, when allegations are being made, it is unfounded. But I believe if there are such allegations and there are affidavits, let it come to the Chairperson. You know, because I think it's very important for us. Yeah, the affidavits, this is being said, so that we can then see whether it's an unfounded allegation or whether it's a founded allegation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. My comment was going to be similar. I think we shouldn't drag this debate down to a he said, she said, or a political matter. The fact of the matter is, if we are campaigning in local government elections, or if we are campaigning in by-elections, and we see food parcels or these incidences happening, then it's our responsibility as members of parliament, irrespective of our political parties, to actually take down that information, take photos if we can, and come and report it here to parliament, because it's our duty. So the fact of the matter is, it's not an issue, it should not be an issue of whether it was the ANC or the IFP or the DA. It should be an issue if a food parcel is misused for a political purpose, then we should gather the facts and the information and come here and discuss it here in a mature manner. But the reality is, we have ourselves seen this being happening in by-elections, for example. But then to come here and discuss it here and bring you the information, affidavits if possible, or photos, so that we can actually tease it out in a responsible manner. Thank you.
Responsibility will be to ensure that we put systems in place. We recommend systems to the minister to say, minister, to curb this practice, let us go this route and have such a system, effective system, to ensure that food lives for those for whom the food was meant. But I just want us to be clear that as we sit here, we are not using to say DA, you do this in your province, ANC, you do this when you dominate, IFP, you do this. I don't think honorable members are doing us any honorable thing by doing so. So that's why we want to come home. This is our home. We equally have the same power in this, together with you and together with Mama Wilson or Mama Kopana. There's no reason why we leave our home and say these things to the neighbors or passerbys or people in the bus. That's where I was driving the point. Not necessarily to say this does not happen, this is happening. If there is an allegation, let us all be worried, because we are elected by people. Can I then allow Mama Soleti, before the minister responds, if she has to respond in any way? Because this was not about the ministry. It is about the public out there. And the minister is not is a member of this committee. So she's not a member simply because she is a minister. She's a member and should actually speak as a member at times. Because when we recommend to her. So we are not wanting her to say she's defending this or she's disputing this, but all recommendations will find their way to as the content. It is included in the content, and it goes through the report, so that when we go to Parliament, we are able to say we address this matter, that they are raised to be addressed. So, Mama Solet.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also agree with the previous speakers, but Chairperson, also maybe to caution that we shouldn't find ourselves in a circus of cheap politicking. I have raised this matter, I think, in a previous meeting with Sasa when they were here, before we went to the budget vote. Mm-hmm. And Sasa clarified it. They clarified it to all the members on when do they issue the food parcel and how and whatever. So that Chairperson, I wonder if we are going to control it, because I'm telling you now again, Chairperson, that when we go next time, they will still say that without evidence. They will still say that without evidence. But the problem is we should really be conscious that we should not find ourselves thinking that the cup of chief politicking. For example, I want to challenge the members. I went to my constituency last week in Bloemfontein. There are no elections that are coming. There are no by-elections that are coming. I was in SASA offices taking somebody who went to my constituency office. And that person was assisted by being given a food parcel because the family does not afford. Now, how do you link that with the by-election? Because it happens every day. As long as there are people who are in distress out there, SASA do give them the food parcel. I really want to challenge members because that's a way of political parties to use against the ruling party, unfortunately. But also to say, perhaps as we move towards whatever, whether there are by-elections or whatever that is there, then we should guard against that program around those areas. But the food parcel citizens are issued throughout, even when we are sitting here now. You get to somewhere, somehow in the country, you find a family that is in need of the food. That's my contribution,
Chair. If we were having time, we would go out in the next year in town. Here in town, all of us, we go to houses. When we come out, we would be pleading to say, SASA here, give those people food. It's because people are hungry on a daily basis. But I'm avoiding to say SASA is not ANC. I just wanted this clarification. SASA, that is why SASA is an agency, but does not report to ANC here. They are reporting to each member equally, so that at some stage we are able to go out and say, I've never had a situation where SASA actually can go and say, you're giving these people, show me your membership. I know, I don't think so. So now we are fine with this. But Mama Soleti, we are also not agreeing that if there is elections and there was a program to go there, we suspend it. But I think we must find, that's why I'm saying, this committee must find a way of ensuring that, because one thing, if we go to that area and we find poor people, all of us, and there are elections, don't we give those people food because it's elections? So I think we need to find a way of ensuring that we get rid of this perception. Because it is a perception up until it has been proved to be something that happens. But we've got a reason to worry. We've got a reason to worry if it's continuously being raised. So thank you very much for this point. I don't really feel the minister needs to respond to this. It's ours. Mama Abrahams?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I just want to add and say, if you can find whichever party and you find a needy family, is there anything wrong going to SASA? So people must just be active and do what they need to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. MPs, honourable members of parliament, and the officials of the department, Chairperson. I'm sorry, but I'm happy I found the last part of the meeting. The issue of social relief of distress is like a double edged sword, because firstly, members of parliament use our programs to advertise themselves. There are instances where there are instances where we've even taken photographs, because everyone knows that our color is a yellow, and then hands. And then you'll find out in a place that people are even wearing t-shirts, and you have to say to them, hey, go, leave. Because we've always said that poverty does not have eyes. And so social development must not have eyes. Everyone must be equal or treated equally. I can go further if members want me to bring evidence. We do have evidence of situations where other political parties have used a ICOP to advertise themselves. And ICOP is a program of SAFA and Home Affairs, Department of Health, as well as police. And you could, if you want to be malicious, you can go further and expel the officials who are doing those things. But we've never done that. Why? Because you know that the election phase is going to pass. And secondly, officials have families. And thirdly, they might be afraid of saying no because they know who they stay with. So I think we need to try and understand the whole situation and all the dynamics that happen within the sector. And then I know that many people like to talk about shelter. On the elections day in Togwe, I was called by some radio wanting to know if we were distributing food parcels there. And then I responded and then spoke to the MEC, and the MEC said, no, we are not distributing any food parcels, but I'm going to the command center where we were running elections. I was also going to the same place, only to find out that someone had brought, who is an official of social development, brought a truck with a food parcels, and they were in the constituency office of one of our members of the ANC. And I had to call that official and instructed her to take back the truck. And that was a trap, because that official belongs to a particular party. So it was a trap. And fortunately, we're able to foil all that. But also, you see, it's a problem, again, if members are going to say we buy votes with SRD. As from now, you are going to have a flood here in the Western Cape. And you know what we do, Chatterton? It is the office of the mayor, or they in the municipality, that instructs various companies to supply families that are affected. And we only get an invoice. Yes. We only get an invoice, and that is not defined as a or characterized as corruption. So when we speak, we must do our research properly. And then come to the issue of the SIU. SIU, we've been paying them $3.5 million on a monthly basis for doing investigative work. And we have more than 300 million rand that they've reported to us. That was squandered. And the only thing they did was to round off people and made them to acknowledge debt signed. And now we have the responsibility of looking for those people, not them. And even now, we have not taken the books because they are not balanced. Some of the people that are in that register passed on. And the people that have been followed and harassed are ordinary people. People, big people that have monies, have not been followed. And that in itself is very, it sounds very skewed. Because you would demand that those that are rich must pay a first government. So we'll wait for them to balance the books and then take the books. And anyway, it was Minister Zola Skweyiya who started this process. By the time the president signed the proclamation, we were already working with the SIU. So it should not be taken here that we are running away from the SIU. We don't know what to do. We know what to do. We're not going to take a book that are not properly closed when we've been paying millions and millions of government money to the SIU to do our work. And that I think I agree. Okay, again, distributing food parcels in the areas of the ruling party. I've been to different areas where we would go there for an imbizo. Remember, we do a social facilitation for sometimes a week or 2 weeks. And you know where you are going. And you know that it will not take a food parcel to change the minds of the people. Mm-hmm. I think our people are not fools. You can come with food parcels, you can come with everything. They will not vote you if they don't want you in a particular place. I know areas where we've done work and where we've gone there because of poverty, dire need. And what we've been trying to address these days are issues of malnutrition. And the information that we are using comes from the Department of Health and State SA. We are not thumbsucking the information we have because we want to ensure that everything that we are doing has supporting evidence. We know that members of parliament always, it's their responsibility to hold us accountable. So when you do your work, you need to be able to explain why you did this. So we've been to the stronghold of the UDM,
of the DA, of the IFP. Just go there, do the work, work with women and children, and withdraw. We've been to areas like Varikana, a social development where no one wants to go, where our workers are threatened when they do their work, because there are other parties that are dominating there. And because cabinet took a decision that we must go and do some work in those towns, we do exactly that. And then lastly, Chairperson, where there are affidavits, we would like, as you've said, to understand what is going on. We are very much interested, because we've never sent any official to say those things. I think we need to...
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Minister, for your very self-explanatory approach in this matter. But also, I'm doing this deliberately, because what when you listen to the... You watch the TV in the morning. TV in the morning, that TV program that shows Parliament in the morning. The debate there is silent. It doesn't give the other person an opportunity in the same time. It will show only one person. And when people go after that, they say, ooh, this government is like this. We saw people talking inside Parliament. That is the reason why we want to come and ensure that when we are here at home, we all do this, understand each other without being angry with someone else. But I'm surprised, Minister. I'm not young anymore. You know, government people were loved. Despite that we were in the apartheid time, but a social worker was understood as a social worker. I think those social workers were, do you remember, those who are not very young, social workers used to carry food with them. Food with them, social workers, so that if they find an emergency, they actually act decisively, taking people in their own cars to where assistance would be. I think the bureaucracy will kill this country. In terms of if I find this person having not had food for 4 days, I must first go and apply. A long process before food can be given to that person. We didn't like the political party members, but we were committed to know that this minister or this official is doing government work. So we were not having any reservation that they are the people who are employed by the government who oppresses. But we could see that these people bring relief in your suffering. But now it is gone. Even today, I think all of us should love ministers. Not because they are ANC members. Any minister, I can go to Mama Magwaza if I'm in her area and say, Mama Magwaza, please, my sister, there is this problem here. There is this problem here. Then the check again, go Guguchi. This hostility, it makes people to starve. Because people don't want to come out their cocoons. Because they will be afraid that you have been bought. So I think this committee must bring a change to the mindset of always thinking that this person is the reason why is taking this particular Mikonzo to this area. I know in Marikana, they are not happy with any political party, nor are they happy, but they are all concerned about their issues, and they want their issues to be addressed. So that this matter will lay it to rest. I don't think we need to be conducting any investigation, but we open doors so that people, when they have problems, they can bring them. Honorable Fander, remember, you had your hand. I'm sorry. And Honorable Toilet will be the last after, when we close the matter. After Honorable, we will see, you will be the last.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Minister for the information that she's given us in terms of some of the interventions that she's made. The fact of the matter is, I don't want us to misunderstand one another. You know, we live in a country where there's a large group of our country, a large part of our population that live in poverty. So, of course, the delivery of food parcels is an important part of what government should do. We're not saying that should not happen. Of course, it's very important. We've got many people who face poverty on a daily basis, children who go to bed hungry. We are not saying that is the problem. We thank the Minister for the interventions that she's just explained that she's made in the past. We are simply saying that as a committee, whether you're from whatever political party, you should guard against food parcels being used as political tools, whether it's the IFC doing so, the DA or the ANC. And therefore, I don't want us to misunderstand one another where it now sounds as if other political parties are against delivery of food parcels. They are essential. It's good work which SASA is doing. And the Minister, you know, she's also doing good work in looking at issues that are being raised, for example, where she finds officials who misuse SASA logos or clothing. We are not saying food parcels are not essential. We're just saying that as a committee, we need to guard against food parcels being used for the wrong purposes. And then if we do have information, bring it to the committee so we can deal with it.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to the Minister's response, I actually have two requests. First of all, Minister, if there is any member of our party using any kind of grants or food parcels or anything, and they are doing it in a DA shirt, you say you have got photographs, I ask you please that you provide those photographs as the evidence, because we do not let people get away with it. If there is a charge, there is a charge, it must be laid. We don't let it go under the carpet, number one. And number two, with regards to the situation in Cape Town where you say you are only getting invoices and no explanations with regards to what that amount was actually used for or where it went, can you please just give us evidence of your correspondence with the Mayor of Cape Town so that if she has not addressed this problem and if it is genuinely a problem, I as a member of this committee can take it up and make sure that the situation is corrected. Thank you.
But it will take a resolution if we want to investigate anything. But for now, we wanted to air our views. And if there are weaknesses in the system, we put those, we strengthen those systems. If I lay Honorable Toledo, close.
Chairperson, I wouldn't really necessarily say anything, but I really want to comment the fact. DSD in general, let me just say that because the general household survey that was released by the Statistics FA is really putting the department and SASA in a very good light in terms of fighting poverty in South Africa. I just want to commend them in that regard and perhaps to say they must keep on doing what they are doing, Chairperson, distributing food parcels to the needy in South Africa. Thank you.
Where the statistics South Africa is pointing that food must be supplied, blankets or whatever, if that area is poverty stricken and SAA statistics, health statistics is saying there's autism there, then the matter will be taken straight to that particular area. And so I think for today we are healed because as members and as leaders and as professionals, when we are at war against poverty, we are supposed to be holding each other moving forward because we want social cohesion. We don't want the rich, the poor, the soul. We want a society that trusts each other. And it's our duty, the mandate of this department, to bring about social cohesion. So we'll follow the matter. of the Eastern Cape. I come from Eastern Cape, and Eastern Cape must be clean. Must be clean. If there are issues that are not understood, we go and make them open up so that we know what is going on in that beautiful province of mine. So we are laying this now and saying, I think you have been very keen to see that when you go and report as a whip, we have dealt with this presentation.
Yes.
We have dealt with it. I don't want when the content advisor is writing for future generations, and also the report, the committee report. Committee report must actually indicate that there's progress in this portfolio committee. So when we leave this, we don't want to come back in the next year and say, but in any way, last year, because we are about to deal with the annual report. Yes, annual report in the near future. So we don't want to come back to these matters. That's why we make an emphasis that let us true and true before we swallow. But when we go next time, there are no remnants of the past food, because it will be a new diet now. The diet we have been eating has been these presentations. The new diet is going to be an annual report. So there will be no aftertaste for this particular food. Can I proceed, Honorable Members?
Yes.
Are you happy? Mama Van der Neuf, are you happy? Mama Wilson, are you happy?
Yes, Chair, I am. Thank you. I am happy. Just an indication from my side, because time is just about run out, and I have another meeting to attend to. That if I have to leave, it's not because I'm walking out on the committee, it's that I have another commitment. Please, Chair. Thank you.
And Chair should be busy. If there is anything that you felt you didn't want to say in this meeting, I should be kept on my toes. There is an office there, so that any other matter I can respond. Yeah, it's not an ANC office. It's a chairperson's office. So we can all have an open door system for matters to be raised. And I know there are matters that I owe in terms of the drugs and other things that people have raised. We have not found how we're going to approach and how am I going to propose that the committee takes the matter of drug abuse forward. So we are not leaving that unattended, and the issue, other issues, will make clearly that you are part and parcel of that good work. So can we now agree that yes, we can relieve UCO, and with your good homework in the other provinces that give you a nightmare, deal with them. We are behind you. Now let us look into, is there somebody who's going to remind us just a few, so that when we make that input, no, it's a honorable, so we did not ask questions. We dealt with that matter and then we left it. So now we just want to browse that presentation and ask questions.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay.
I had quite a few questions on that presentation, but what I will do is I will submit them as written questions, because I'm going to be unable to address them today. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Others left them in another bag. I know your conferences give you bags, so you've got plenty bags, and you always put information in different bags, Honorable Van der Merwe.
Chairperson, I unfortunately also got another portfolio committee that I have to go to. You know I serve on four, so I would also like to be excused. I'm very sorry.
Okay, next time we have enough members.
we'll try. No, sir, Chairperson.
Okay,
Honourable Chairperson, I went through the finances, and at the moment I feel it's in order, because they gave us the overall. And the thing is that this is a third quarterly report. I think let us wait for that fourth quarterly report, because then you see the overall. Because within this presentation I already said that when it comes to the work of SASSA, when we talk about the quarters, and it comes, yes, and it comes to the DSD report, it's correlating. Because you could see those figures there. So things are in order. But let us just wait for the next report. Thank you.
We are arriving, Honourable Minister, to a stage where we say we are true to that work, that of those presentations. But then when we look into the annual report, I think we are so comprehensive and interrogating reports that there will be very little for us to deal with. Because if you could see how we do this work, we always refer to the past fourth parliament, to the fourth parliament legacy report, and bring it forward. So when we go to directly to this, quarter by quarter, we have been dealing with this work. It is now my belief that it is going to be easier to deal with the annual report. Members might be saying, we're taking too long, but I think members will bear in mind that we are doing it slowly, so that when it comes to annual report, each page was clear that we dealt with this, and this is how it was going to be addressed. Not unless members have got had time to go through, because I will also announce that we will be reading as members the new bills. Because I think before we invite the department, Honourable Minister, two bills have been referred to the committee. And it is our honest belief that when you look at them, the importance is that they should be passed before we go to elections, so that people don't raise these issues, because there will be a policy already in progress. I'm not in charge of saying when we finish target time, but we are also saying we want to comply with the department to an extent that we finish it according to your schedule as a department. And therefore today we are going to distribute for readings, so that when they present to us, it is not a new information, but rather it is an information seeking. That says, when you say this, what do you mean? When you say this, what do you mean? So we have received this officially, and this committee now must take that forward. And also the management committee, because, Minister, there has been transformation in the process of managing the portfolio committee. So there are factors that indeed deal with that and that. We are now happy that we are able to manage the processes properly, especially that in the past you would think that technical work is not political work. Now we know that technical people actually support the political arm so that we can move forward. So we've got that, it will be sent to them before we invite the department to table it and to give us. We will have read it, and also, our program is clear. Do you want us to tell about the oversight? Because if we are disappointed, Minister. We wanted to go to an oversight, a study tour. But we were told not to do so. Parliament ruled that they don't want any political party members deployed here going out. They should be concentrating at home people are hungry. So we are not going. That has been given finalized. So as we are not going, we have this time that we were going to use out of the country. We'll go only next year. Is it? So now we'll go after election sometime. But now as we are going to concentrate to finish more work so that we have more time to leave to go. I was looking forward to that country. I don't know which country it was, but we were going. But for now, yes, I'll give now the secretary to give us yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The committee has scheduled the workshop. I think that was raised by the committee that they want to have a workshop with the department wherein the HODs from various provinces would form part of that presentation. We have submitted application and have identified the date of 24th to 25th of June here in Stellenbosch. But communication will be forwarded to the committee, to the department before the end of business, because we're waiting for the approval by the House Chair. The week of 21st until 31st of July has been allocated for oversight visits. So the committee would decide, I think KZN is in Cape, I'm not sure. They looked around. So the committee will identify which provinces and what will be the focus areas. So that's the 2 weeks of 23rd until the 1st of July oversight. Thank you very much.
So I don't know whether members want to ask, but I think Sister is bidding for the soccer tournament to go there. Come again? Oh, okay, that's fine. Let's leave that as to where we will go. Let's make it to be a surprise. So that's all for today for us. I don't know whether there is anything left. Come again? Okay, sure. Yes, I wonder if there's nowhere where you're going after this meeting. Okay, so I think we are two, but I will fail my task if I really not thank the department for coming forward and for staying with us and listening to us, and also the honorable members. I know that you are being pulled that side and that side because of the many meetings, not only portfolio committee meetings, WIPARI sessions, women's issues, but you still make us to have the quorum. Honorable Minister Siyakhala, abanye abantu bathiwa izinto ngedebate. Thina sangaphiwa apha. Sithe sizobatsho kuwe.
That we forgot about. We have to still do when it comes to the social development report. It was accepted, adopted in Parliament yesterday. Of course, all those reports were adopted. But the thing is, as we're going into the, what do you call it, where everyone sits together, it's going to be the general. We're going to look at each vote. And each vote will be sometime next week or perhaps this week. And that will determine whether our budget is going to be accepted by the opposition parties or not. And then we have to just prepare ourselves for declarations.
But indeed, they didn't mention it amongst those they were not voting for. So ours is complete. DA2. Because I was looking into that screen, our budget was not part of the declaration. So our matter is closed. We will wait for money to go into your purse. That's fine. Then we look forward to the grilling according to the expenditure. Grilling of the expenditure patterns. So that is all, I think so. Thank you very much.
Oh, never mind that.